Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
I can say this. We have been praying fervently against assassination attempts. We've been warned prophetically from a number of sources, including we watched Chris Reed's different words about an assassination attempt on somebody. And we will continue to pray, though. We won't let our guard down after this recent event. And Saturday I was up. I finally took a little break and took the dogs and went up Miller Creek. And Terry and Amber and the grandkids were all out of town over at Silverwood, enjoying themselves. And so anyway, the dogs and I finally took a break and went up there, wading through the creek up there and enjoying the cool water. And all of a sudden, my phone started just blowing up, you know, calls coming in. And I'm like, how am I even getting a cell service that far? I don't get cell service that far up the creek, you know, way up. It just didn't happen. But there it was coming through. Somehow I was in a spot where it was getting through, and I was getting all these calls about the president being shot and everything. So I was already getting information. So I'm like, well, we've been praying, so we'll keep praying. And anyway, so I stayed up for a little while and came down and started, you know, seeing the same things you all saw. And I did do a little more research and went back to some of the Rumble conservative sites where they actually show everything. Like, for instance, I've never seen, since this whole thing happened, I've never seen on any of the major networks, including Fox, a picture of the actual crowd. All you see is that little bit in front of the camera. And Trump even said, they never show you this crowd. But on, like I said, on Rumble, where they have the news teams that you don't hear about, you know, he was an hour late showing up. Okay, so for an hour they were just showing the crowd and talking to people and stuff, and it was over 50,000 people. I mean, that's almost the population of Missoula in there. It was just so amazing, the huge crowd that was there. So one of the things I wanted to do is, in watching that, was to see exactly when, because they had a clock in the bottom, you know, of the local time, the clock was there. And the news was saying, you know, around 6:15, whatever, they were, you know, they were just, you can't get the straight story from any of the mainstream news. At any rate, this was 6:11. And 6:11, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then I'll go back to it later, but, you know, talks about wrestling against flesh and blood. Evidently, I wasn't the only one that did that, because evidently I understand that's been a big Google search now since that is Ephesians 6:11. But pretty remarkable. It's kind of like, it reminds me of when Tim Tebow had the 316 for John 3:16, and there was 316 yards, and there was all those different things. And then there was millions of people looking up John 3:16. Anyway, it seems like it gets out of control of the people that are trying to control the narrative when the Spirit gets involved. But, you know, we have been praying. And this is one of the things I want to talk about tonight. We have been praying very seriously, very openly against assassination attempts, specifically on Trump. We don't want anybody to be assassinated, but specifically on President Trump. And we will continue. We won't let our guard down just because God answered our prayer this time. But, okay, other people were shot, good people. This Corey Comparatore, he was evidently a wonderful Christian man that taught the Bible, loved his family, and died protecting them, okay, protecting his wife and daughters, doing the right thing. But, okay, we have been praying for President Trump, okay, and he needs prayer, okay, because he's representing, but, and no one has been demonized, I don't think, in history like this person. The stuff they used to say about Ronald Reagan, when at the time Ronald Reagan was president, and even after he was president, I worked at the University of Montana. You could never talk to anybody out there that would say anything good. It was like almost it was illegal to say anything good about him. But the vitriol and the hatred has gone to a whole new level in the last 10 years, you know, with Donald Trump. And it's nonstop, of course, with 24 hours, you know, and the internet and everything. So, you know, and on that subject, okay, think of it. I'm going to touch on this again, but that young man, 20-year-old person, since he was 12, this is all he's heard. This is, you know, unless, depending on what he listens to, that's all he's heard about Donald Trump, okay? They say he's registered as a Republican. A lot of Democrats do that in Missoula, too. That's why they're trying to change the law so they can do it easier, but we're not going to have that. But the only thing they know now, the only causes he gave to were left-wing causes. But at any rate, the point is that there's a lot of people out there that are being told things that are lies, okay? And unless we can change that narrative and teach the truth. And that's why it's going to take more than politics to change the direction. And we're no doubt going in the wrong direction. But okay, I thought more about Corey and thinking about him, because we're in that category. We're good Christian people, and we're standing up for righteousness, and we're in the line of fire too. Okay, use the president's terminology against President Trump, you know, put a bullseye on you. Okay, the devil has a bullseye on you.
Yes.
And they want to put a bullseye on you. And I just heard Peter Navarro, who was, you know, just released from prison because they put him in illegally. Supreme Court got him just released this morning and was speaking today. And he said, look, they put me in prison, but they'll put you in prison if they can. And right. It's like the old saying about they've come after Donald Trump, but he's in the way. They're coming after us. He has said that. Others have said that. And this is true because of the Stalinistic evil powers that have been unleashed. And the good thing about COVID, the bad thing about COVID was allowed them to steal, kill, and destroy. But the good thing about COVID is allowed them to be revealed as the thief and the murder and the hate that they have. So it's from God's perspective, you have to play this game of going so far and then pulling it back. God knows these things, you and I don't. That's why when I said a number of years ago, we're in a battle over whether or not the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall perish from the earth, to borrow the terminology from the Gettysburg Address. But that's where we are, even in a greater sense than it was at Gettysburg, because they're further down the line here. But it's interesting that just yesterday, a mile away from the Republican National Convention, a homeless man pulled a knife out in a park on another homeless man, and they shot him. And yet they have a person on a roof with an AR-15. Yeah. By the way, the first AR-15 that the left hasn't criticized. It's the first time they haven't blamed the gun that I've ever heard of. But I don't know if you noticed that. But anyway, so... And yet this guy was able to spend, now they know, at least 3 hours there. They already noticed he had a range finder. They noticed he had a backpack. I don't know why they didn't notice the ladder and the gun until later. But we do know that the head of the Secret Service tried to blame the local police. The local police chief has come out and said, wait a minute, that's not true. We were assigned parking. That's what we were assigned to do. Everything, all security was Secret Service. We were doing told what we were assigned. When their person finally was told about this person on the roof, he climbed up on the shoulder. This is what has been told from a spokesman from the police department, is that he climbed up on the shoulders of another police officer and looked over the guy, pointed the gun at him. And he fell off then. Of course, he couldn't pull his gun. But you would think that when somebody points a gun at a police officer, usually that's the end of the story. But I guess not when you're standing on somebody else's shoulders looking over a 12-foot. Well, I can tell you one thing. Like I wrote the day it happened, was the Secret Service failed catastrophically, but God didn't.
Amen.
Okay. And then the way the press reported it was, Trump's removed from the stage after falling, you know, trying to equate it with Joe Biden or something, or Trump removed from a rally when loud noises scared the president and onlookers or something like that. And the thing about it is, unlike when JFK was shot, there are so many cameras and so many witnesses, it's kind of hard for them to tamp down their lies. Are astounding that they come. Oh, the slope of the roof was too steep to put anybody. That's an OSHA regulation. We can't put a. Well, there's photographs from day one of the Secret Service up on the roof, on a steeper roof, looking at, over in the direction of the shooter. And we do know, at least we've been told, that wasn't the ones in those photographs that actually took him out, but we do know that they had their sights on him when he took the shots, which is how they were able to take him out. He evidently was able to get off. I could count five shots, but I counted five shots, okay? And we know at least two people were injured seriously and one person died. Well, three people injured seriously, the president, you know, and then one person died. So, but I wanted to address that as far as while we're praying for them, and we should pray for our leaders, and we should pray for those that are in harm's way, we need prayer for ourselves, okay? Back when 9/11 happened, I thought of Psalm 91:1, and I always go back to that, and I'll just read it because it's worth reading. Psalm 91 through 7. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me, deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noon. Day. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. And so we have to, as we've said before, this, in the days that we're entering into, the safest place is next to the Lord, is in the will of God. Yeah. Right? We need to be in the will of God. Yeah. And so again, I come back to that Corey that saved his family. We need to pray for one another. Now, he needed prayer. Now, he didn't need as much prayer as Trump. How much did he need? Enough. He needed enough. You see what I'm saying? And you need enough. And I need enough. Right? I always go back to the story of when Miriam and Aaron began to criticize Moses. And God said, cut it out. And Miriam got leprosy. Why did Miriam get leprosy and not Aaron? They were both doing the same thing. Now, if I was Aaron, I would be going, oh, boy. How did I miss that? I always felt was because Aaron was the high priest and there was extra protection or covering that comes with the position. You see, she was a prophetess, but she wasn't in a position. And of course, she got healed quickly when they repented. Moses prayed for her. But I know Aaron probably was going, oops, that could have been me too. And I think there was an added protection that comes with the office. And I think many times are in a position of leadership, you have an extra level of protection, but we also have to understand there's a higher level of responsibility. But anyway, when this happened, you know, I got to tell you about prayer, though. There was a time when I was getting, everywhere I looked, I was getting 7-Eleven. Now, this wasn't recently, but it's a story that sticks with you, you know. So I was getting this 7-Eleven everywhere, you know. I'm like, Lord, you got to tell me what you're saying. 7-Eleven, you know. And I remembered I had a 7-Eleven cup. Now, we don't have 7-Elevens. I don't think there's any in Montana. Certainly don't have any in Missoula. But I had a cup. I remembered I had it. Somebody, I don't know where I picked it up, but I had it. And it was up in the, you know, in the cabinet in the kitchen, somewhere up there where it doesn't get used very often. So I opened the cabinet. I looked way up in the top and kind of reached up there. And I found it way in the back. And I pulled it out. And as I'm pulling it out, The back side of it is what I saw, and it said, "Oh, thank heaven." Remember, that was their motto, was, "Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven." Now, see, when 7-Eleven started, they were open from 7 in the morning to 11 at night, and they were the first store like that, convenience store, that went to 24 hours. So it's like, "Oh, thank heaven, 24 hours a day." And so that's what I was getting the message. Now when I get 7-Eleven, it's really saying, pray. So it didn't take me to a verse that was Psalm 7 verse 11 or something. No, I went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, so it's not a 7-Eleven in numbers, but it is in what it's saying. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So that's my 7-Eleven section, you know, when I see 7-Eleven. So I just want to share that with you because we should keep that in mind. 24 hours a day, anytime we think about it, we should always be rejoicing and seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to keep us under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings, under His protection. And we need to understand that, you know, we've been warned about this, which is why I've been praying. But other things, other parts of that warning are the upheaval that's coming. If I remember right, I didn't go back and re-look recently, but if I remember right, I think, Chris Reed's prophecy was one of the things was July 11th was an important day, right? And that was the day that Trump was supposed to be sentenced, but then the Supreme Court ruled that they were illegal in what they did. So that sentencing day was still an important day, but he didn't get sentenced, okay? Right. But that was an important part of that prophecy. And then the assassination attempt, now we know that happened on the 13th. But he also said that starting in July, things were going to, I'm going up from memory here, but things were going to begin to be more of an upheaval. And that there was going to be a real test with the economy and so on. And then after the election, there was also going to be a lot of upheaval. And it was going to test whether the new birth of the baby, remember the new birth of America, and that was going to go on into the spring. So basically we're looking at the next 9, 10, 11 months, whatever, from where we are right now in July. But anyway, I just bring these things up because they should help us not to worry, but to seek the Lord and pray always and to rejoice and to do these things, like the 7-Eleven story, you know, thank heaven. Now, again, back to when the president was shot, it was 6-11. I went back and looked for myself. Ephesians 6:11 and on through 16. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, remember, it also says in Romans, it says that God, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. Yes. So you got to have the God of peace got to give you the shoes of peace so you can crush the head of Satan. All right, but let's keep those on. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, and I love that. I always add this verse as part of the armor. Okay, it's not actually part. It doesn't say, you know, you got the belt of truth and you got the helmet of salvation. You know, the gauntlets of prayer. It doesn't say that. I call it the suspenders of prayer. In other words, I think this prayer is what holds everything else on, you see? So it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication means specific request. That's what we've been doing. Specifically asking the Lord to protect against assassination attempts, right? So specifically praying against that. And we should also, I guess, add, Lord, and not only against assassination attempts, but collateral damage also for the other good godly people to protect everybody. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Twice you get the word supplication in there. Wow. Now, there's a couple of things I thought of when I was watching what happened and going over it. And, you know, that famous photo now that's famous. And of course, the mainstream media, those people are saying, well, they got to quit showing that because it's influencing people. And we don't want to influence people in their opinions, you know. What? Anyway, I actually posted it early and I got it off the TV. I stopped the TV and snapped it on from the TV. It was before it was out in all the media. I was like, wow, look at that. And I snapped that picture and I put it out there. And I forget on that particular one what I captioned it. But I was, you know, I was, anyway. But one thing, there was another photo. I think it was the same person that took the photo. But anyway, when the president got hit and he went down and the Secret Service jumped on him and he ran around. You could see him in some of the videos. He wearing a white hat. And he ran around. And he starts snapping pictures like through their legs and things. And he got that one great picture with Trump, it looks like he's actually praying. I don't know if he was or not, but he was like down there and the blood's dripping off his face and his thumb's up in the air like this. You could see the Secret Service, the heel of his shoe. But what I thought of was out of a couple of things, but one of them was here in Deuteronomy where it talks about a bondservant, someone who's served their time, okay? He's served his time and he's free. He can go free. He served his time, paid his debt, whatever it was. But he says, wow, I've been treated so well. Of course, Trump hasn't been treated so well. But nevertheless, he loves the country. So he's decided to stay around and keep fighting for the country. So in Deuteronomy 15, 16, and 17, it says, and if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also for a female servant, you shall do likewise. So that's one thing I thought of. Okay, in other words, a consecration of a bond servant, that he so loves the household. We know it's America, that he's saying, no, you know, he says, I have prospered with you. Well, he hadn't been treated really well, but he has prospered in America. And I've heard him tell the story when he ran the first time, was, look, I've done really well. America's been good to me, and I want to give something back. And when I see that our country, we're losing our country, this is when he ran the first time and won. But I see that we're losing our country and somebody had to do something. Okay, so that's the reason he did it. In Isaiah 50, verse 5, it's referring to the same thing, but it says it a little different. It says, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. In other words, he's saying, I open my ear like I can hear good, but it's talking about the awl in the earring. In other words, by being a bondservant, you can hear clearly what the master's saying. You know, Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you listen to. And if you listen correctly, then you're going to hear more of what you should be hearing. That's what Jesus said. So I think we should, especially with so much out there right now and all the stuff. And Isaiah even said, you know, don't call everything that's a conspiracy. Well, anyway. All right. So let me look for a second though, because I want to read you the other one I was thinking of, that where I felt like the Lord showed me him coming up. Leviticus. All right, I'm not seeing it here in my notes. It's on my Facebook, but believe it's Leviticus 14:14. Let me just look it up and see if that's it. Yeah. Okay, so it's Leviticus 14:14. The priest shall take then some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear of the person to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And it was right after that, when they were saying, we got to get you out of here, and he goes, let me get my shoes. And we now know that what happened was that when they jumped on him so hard, his shoes flew off. Now remember, when Reagan was shot, they threw him into the limo so hard, they broke a rib. They actually broke his rib. The bullet didn't break the rib, but they didn't even know he was hit until they were driving down the road, and he started coughing up blood, and then they went to the hospital. But anyway, the point is that it's when I saw that picture with him down there like he was praying, his thumb was up like this, and the next thing, you know, after that was like, get my shoes. I just thought of that verse, you know, the blood coming from his ear, and I don't know if he got any on his thumb or toe, but the point is that I just thought of that. A time of consecration for the priesthood. And I just thought, you know, time will tell, but I just thought he got up different than he went down. I just thought when he was down there that he came up a different person spiritually. Well, I'll tell you, I did write something on somebody wrote a question for me, and I did write back about him. And then I did say, I would like him to get a little bit more of the communication gift that Reagan had. But that's just me. You can't, you know, everybody can't be everything. But it would be nice if he could do that. But anyway, that's besides the point. Moses was Moses, and they complained about Moses. People usually complain about the deliverer that God sends them. Jesus was perfect, and they found problems with him. So, you know what I'm saying? So we don't have perfect leaders. But I do say, I believed at that time something happened, something changed. Now, we know there's been prophecies going back to Kim Clement about some of those things happening. Even a few days before this, Bonnie Jones released a prophecy where she had a dream, and she saw him being filled with the Holy Spirit and some other things. Okay, so we can pray for that. Now, this happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. Okay, Butler. A butler's a type of waiter, right? And I thought of Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They're going to have extra strength. And the waiter, you know, I talk about that verse. You know, I see it as like a waiter, a waitress, wait staff. You know, at a good event, like for instance, the marriage supper of the Lamb. The waiters are going to be watching the head table. And when the head table needs something, then they move. Up until then, they just watch, right? So they wait. That's what a waiter is supposed to do. Nowadays, our wait staff, they want, you know, pretty good tips without actually knowing. They've never been trained how to wait. At least I haven't seen what I used to see when I was younger, that there was a lot more training that went into that. But I'm okay, you know. Good wait staff is hard to come by, you know, and they deserve a good tip, okay? Actually, tip came from the term to ensure prompt service, tips. And in the old days, what they do is they put a coin in the crack of the table, letting the person know that if they did a good job, they could earn that. Okay, now we don't do that. We could probably do better if we went back to that. But anyway, point is that I thought of that. Now, look, here's something else interesting. Okay, this is just the Lord. I just had to go back because there's been so much violence in our history, generally from the left to the right, okay? And one of the earlier things that happened was in 1856, okay? This is the Republican Party was brand new, okay? I've said it before, but the Republican Party was created for two purposes. Okay, at the time, it was two stated purposes: end slavery and protect marriage as between one man and one woman. That was the stated purpose of the creation of the Republican Party. Okay, most Republicans don't know that, but it's easy to find with the internet nowadays. But okay, this is called the Brooks-Sumner Affair. All right. Senator Charles Sumner was an abolitionist. He's a Republican. He's from Massachusetts. Boy, things have changed. And he gave a big speech against slavery, and he actually mentioned some of the senators that were holding things up, you know, and protecting slavery and so on. And one of them was named Andrew Butler. Well, another senator, Brooks, from South Carolina, a couple days later, came into the Senate chambers with his, you know, just not just a walking stick, it was like a shillelagh, okay, it was a pretty, and just walked up behind him and just started beating him, okay, he didn't even know it was coming, just beat him within him, and he was going to kill him, but they pulled him off. But, you know, Sumner actually had brain damage the rest of his life, but he was pulled off, no charges were ever filed or anything, but that's an example of Democrat, Republican violence that goes back, okay, right to the beginning, okay? It hasn't stopped since then. I don't know if I really need to go through some of this, but I just want to. Recently we saw, okay, a Bernie Sanders supporter, remember, tried to kill the entire Republican caucus and almost killed Steve Scalise. I seem to see more Democrats abusing AR-15s than anybody. Okay. But anyway, Representative Lee Zeldin from New York, when he was up on stage and the guy came up with the two-bladed knife that was trying to attack him and they stopped, you know, arrested him. How about John Wilkes Booth, the most famous, you know, assassin of all time, was a Democrat that killed the first Republican president and felt that he was, you know, justified in doing so. Gerald Ford, the attack on his life, but he didn't get it was assassination attempt, but he didn't get shot. Ronald Reagan, we know, did get shot. JFK was a Democrat, but he was killed by a Marxist, somebody even further left than him. Martin Luther King was killed by, well, should I mention the names of these guys? I'm not going to this time. But he was a Democrat, right? All right. And then Robert Kennedy was killed by a Palestinian, okay, one of the Hamas guys, you know. So it's not hard to look at some of these. Okay, now they're trying to equate this with Paul Pelosi's attack, where he had a male prostitute, illegal alien that he invited in his home, and they're trying to say that's a Republican. Anyway. All right, evil is evil. Let's not. I bring that up because I want to focus, because people don't know their own history. But it's evil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but people are influenced by the demonic forces. And you can't retrain a demon. Does that make sense? So you're not going to get these forces that are working with these various organizations to change. The forces are not behind them are not going to change. So those forces that are out there that want to kill the president before he can be sworn back in again, they're not going to stop. And they may not stop even after he's sworn back in again. God help us that he does. All right. I want to go back and look at some of these miraculous things that we've had in our history. With the rhetoric and so on stirs up the demons. Yesterday was our 47th anniversary. Yesterday was our 47th anniversary. So my turn. Yeah, thank you. My turn to cook. So we went to Texas Roadhouse. So, but anyway, so we've been looking forward to going there. But actually, while we were there talking, Terry, and I was talking about how they call him literally Hitler, existential threat to democracy. And of course, I'm saying, how can you be a threat to democracy, American democracy, because there's no such thing as American democracy as far as a governmental form. We have a republic, and they are a threat to the republic, there's no doubt. But anyway, Terry pulled out her phone, and she says, I'm going to look that up. So she looks up what existential threat means. Listen to this. This is what it means, according to the dictionary. Existential risks, or global catastrophic risks, are risks that could cause the collapse of human civilization. Prominent examples of human-driven global catastrophic risks include, but are not limited to, nuclear war, pandemics, bioterrorism, and other threats related to the advances of biotechnology, catastrophic accidents, misuse, and other risks related to the advances of AI effects of the extreme climate change and environmental degradation. That's what they're saying. And you notice that since this happened, I know immediately after the shooting and the current person from the White House had to come back from his beach, vacation and do a little speech. And I'll never forget the words he said. We can't accept this kind of violence, this kind of political violence. What kind can you accept? They can accept the kind that burns down cities. They can accept the kinds that burns down Republican headquarters. They can accept the kind that actually succeeds in killing a president, as long as it's not their president. You see what I'm saying? But what kind of political violence is acceptable to them? And then he said, well, we have to tone down the rhetoric. And all they're saying is to the Republicans, you guys need to turn, because he has not been able to control his own tongue. He hasn't changed anything. He's just made excuses for his... So anyway, all right, why am I bringing this up? Because I think we have to see things from a spiritual perspective. We've got to be aware of Satan's devices. And my main purpose is to come back to Corey, is that every one of us is in the bullseye. Yeah. Every one of us is in the devil's crosshairs. And like they say, I'm just standing in the way. So we want to be there to be like Aaron and Hur, to pray for our leadership that God has provided, to pray for the deliverers that God has given us, but we need to pray for one another. How much armor do we need? We need enough. Okay, I don't need as much prayers as President Trump does, but I need enough, right? And I need you to pray for me, and I need to pray for you. Okay, so now I remember, I wish I had thought of this when I was putting my notes together. I can see his face, but anyway, he was a commentator. He was a Jewish good guy. Anyway, he made a comment, and I won't get the quote right. I wish I had thought of it, and I could have brought it. But he basically said he was amazed at the history of America, that at the most strategic times, God always brought up. Or he didn't believe in God. He said at strategic times, always America was provided with the right person. And then he said, it seemed like the hand of God. Okay, he wasn't an atheist, he was an agnostic. Oh, Charles Krauthammer, that's it, Charles Krauthammer. Okay. All right. Back in 1755, so I'm going back a little while, it was during my childhood, it was actually July 9th, okay, and about 50 miles from where this event just happened in Butler, PA, about 7 miles outside of what was then Fort Duquesne, which is became Fort Pitt, which became Pittsburgh. During the French and Indian War, George Washington was colonel of the militia, the American militia, the Virginia militia at the time. And he, of course, he was with General Braddock, who was the top general from the British, and they were marching on Fort Duquesne, and they just let him come until they were within 7 miles, and then they ambushed him, okay? And they were totally unprepared because they wouldn't listen to any of the backwoodsmen. They wouldn't listen to the Americans on how the Indians and the French were going to fight. And so they got destroyed. They got wiped out. Braddock had one of the biggest defeats that Great Britain had ever had up to that time. But during that time, it was a two-hour battle, and 23-year-old Colonel Washington had ridden to and fro through the battlefield, reading from the little booklet, Bulletproof Washington, to and fro on the battlefield, delivering the general's orders to other officers and troops. The officers had all been specially targeted by the Indians. Of the 86 British and American officers, 63 were casualties. Washington was the only officer on horseback not shot down. Okay, later, a few days later, when they got back out of there, matter of fact, George Washington had Braddock buried when he died. He had him buried, and then he had the, this is something the British would never do, but he had the Americans, had the troops walk over his grave. And had the wagon second, so they wouldn't know where he was buried. They didn't find his grave until they were putting in the Pennsylvania Turnpike in the 1960s. But then they did find it, and he has a statue there. But anyway, point is that's just different thinking, okay? So Washington wrote a letter to his family back when they got back to safety a few days later. He explained that after the battle was over, he'd taken off his jacket, and he had 4 bullet holes through it, but yet a single bullet hadn't touched him. Several horses had been shot out from under him, but he had not been harmed. He told them, quote, "By all the powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation." In other words, God saved me. We talk differently, you know. So after this event, you know, Donald Trump said, only by the grace of God. He said, God saved me. Now, he also said to one of his aides, he didn't say the Secret Service saved me, he said the Border Patrol saved me. And the reason he said that wasn't taken away from God. What he was referring to is he had gone off script. He got up there and he was using his teleprompter, and he says, "Hey, you guys don't mind if I go off the teleprompter, do you? They're kind of boring." He says, "Where's that graph I like so much from the Border Patrol?" And so they, "Oh, look, they found it." You know, and you can go back and watch it. He says, so they put it up on the screen, and he's like talking about this graph that shows how many illegal aliens have been coming in the country. He says 20 million. But nevertheless, they got this graph. So he's turning, he's talking, and when he turned at that instant for him to look back at that graph is when he turned. Because that, you know, I say like a 16th of a second, but they were saying it was like 0.03 something from that distance. That's how fast that boat was going. So 0.03 of a second from the point, that person that pressed that trigger had his sights on his head and pressed the trigger on target, and in that instant he turned the head. So between when the bullet left the barrel and when it reached him, which is, it's going 3,000 feet per second, between 27 and 3,000 feet per second, it's going very fast. But I only have to turn my head, at, you know, a 2 inches, whatever that turn is right there in that same amount of time. That's all it took. And instead of taking his head out, it took part of his ear and pierced his ear, if I can say it that way. So I'm just saying, he admits it was only by God's grace that he's alive. He knows other people died. And matter of fact, he'll be at the funeral. He's already made arrangements to be there. He's already set up a GoFundMe for the families and so on. What a great guy in that sense. But he's a true leader. You can see that from the Secret Service failed miserably. Even after the fact, yes, he got up and did what he does, but if there was a second shooter, he wouldn't be with us today, okay? It's very simple. You don't have to know too much to just see that. It wasn't that long ago, if you can recall, one of the commanders of one of our fleets had a photo taken of him shooting or holding a rifle on his shoulders. They photoshopped in a few shells flying through the air, but the safety was on and the action wasn't working. So it was just a Photoshop, okay? I mean, a photo op, and then they photoshopped in the shells. But the scope was on backwards on the AR-15 or M16 that they had, M4, whatever it was. So scope, you remember that? It's been a while. Now it's been a few months ago. You probably had to be reminded by me. But I'm saying, our enemies see these things. Okay, our enemies saw the debate, and they saw the commander-in-chief presently in office, and they thought, boy, we better get things done quickly. There's things we need to do between now and when they have their election, or between now and January when this guy comes back in. Now, they know now, they have released now, that there was actually been, for a number of weeks now, credible threats from Iran to take out Trump, who they've promised to take out because he killed Soleimani and some of those other guys. So they have credible threats from a major terrorist country, and this is the best they could provide as far as safety for him, security for him. That's the best the United States, that a 20-year-old could get in there and do that. There's complicity in here somewhere. Okay, there's incompetency for sure, and there's demons working. Well, thank God that the kid got in there before they got in there, because they'd have done it right. Meaning wrong, okay? This is serious business that we're in.
Yes, yes.
All right? And at any rate, okay, Teddy Roosevelt. Now, they just announced the vice presidential pick. Okay, now, about a month ago on Flashpoint, Lance Wolnau prophesied. He said, well, I just got it from the Lord. They asked, who do you think he's going to pick? I just got it from the Lord. Who is it? J.D. Vance. They didn't necessarily, the host didn't necessarily like it. You could see the look on his face that that wasn't his pick. And he said, why do you say him? He says, well, just because the Lord gave it to me, not because of anything else. And then here we know now that that's the choice. Now, who is he? There's not much you know about him, And so is he, on one hand, I would say, well, it'd be nice to have somebody that has more of a proven record. Well, on the other hand, Trump didn't have much of a proven record, not in politics anyway. And yet, the president now that's in the Oval Office has a long track record of, and which one has done better? My understanding is that his age, 30-something, I think,
39.
J.D. Vance, 39, whatever. We haven't had a vice president that young since, I think, Teddy Roosevelt. Now, when Teddy Roosevelt was vice president, he became president because McKinley was assassinated. That's how we got Teddy Roosevelt, the first term. Well, we don't want that to happen to J.D. Vance. We don't want something to happen to Trump so that J.D. But from the time they made that announcement, we did have somebody we could now know could carry on. I don't know a lot about him. If you've read his book, Hillbilly Elegy, or watched the movie or something, you know his background. You know that his wife is the daughter of Indian immigrants and so at any rate, all I can say is if sometimes you have to judge a person by their enemies, and they hate him as much as they hate Trump. The enemies, they are foaming, they are freaking out about him, that he's more conservative than Trump. He's more of a populist than Trump. He's this, he's that. I know for a fact he was a never-Trumper. He's not a never-Trumper now. He actually called Trump names and so on, which indicates that Trump's willing to move on past those things when they show that they see what he's really done. And that's what a lot of people have been converted by, seeing what he actually did. Not by what he said, not by what he said he was going to do, but what he actually did do. All right? I'm praying that Trump had a real encounter with the Lord, and there's a difference there, okay? But I still pray for him as a deliverer. Like I said, he wasn't perfect. He's still not perfect, but Moses, they complained about him. Moses himself thought he wasn't qualified because he wasn't a good speaker. Okay, so he wanted to disqualify himself. So God said, don't worry about that. I'll give him Aaron to speak for you. Well, then they didn't like Moses for a lot of reasons. They complained. And they, like I said, they didn't like Jesus. All right, so I wanted to get back to Teddy Roosevelt. Because when Teddy Roosevelt came back from his little trip to Africa and then Europe and came back, and he didn't like the direction that the Republicans were taking things. They were going back to the old ways, you know, the Rhino ways is what we would say nowadays. So he ran against Taft, and the party, he won the primaries, but then the party gave it to Taft anyway. And he got, you know, you just don't do that to Teddy. So then he started the Progressive Party, which is called the Bull Moose Party. When he went to give a speech, he got a would-be assassin came up and shot him in the chest. And his 50-page speech was in his breast pocket. And the bullet went through the speech, but it slowed the bullet down. And although it lodged in his chest, it didn't make it all the way to his heart. And so here's how he started his speech. "Friends, I shall ask you to be as quiet as possible. I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot." That was in Milwaukee, and that was 1912. Actually, just a short distance from where the RNC is meeting right now. Okay, so anyway, let me see if I... Then he said, "It takes more than that to kill a bull moose." And then he went on and he assured them that as he pulled the speech out of his pocket, that it was bullet, had a bullet all the way through it. And when he opened it up, there's two holes through there. So he held up his prepared remarks, which had two big holes through it, and he continued, "Fortunately, I had my manuscript. So you see, I was going to make a long speech, and there's a bullet there, and where the bullet went through, and it's probably saved me from it going into my heart," which turned out to be true. "And the bullet is in me now, so I cannot make a very long speech, but I'll try my best." And he went on for 50 minutes. They later say that it may have saved him because he had his tight vest on and that it kept him from bleeding out. But anyway, what a guy. But also from New York. You know, you never would have thought about a guy, you know, that raised in New York with all the privileges and all that kind of stuff, boxing school and all that. But, you know, he ended up being a pretty tough guy, you know. At any rate, he eventually got I think it was Bill Clinton, but somebody gave him the posthumously the Congressional Medal of Honor. But anyway, he earned that. Going up San Juan Hill. Remember when Jesus was in, preaching in his, Nazareth, when he started his ministry and gave this, you know, read from Isaiah and said, "This day is this," and they went to throw him off the cliff, and it says he walked through the midst of them. I don't think they could see him. I think when they went to throw him over, something happened. They were like, where'd he go? Whatever it was, he walked back through the midst of it. It wasn't his time. And remember when in the garden, when they came and they were going to capture all of them, and he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they all fell down. Now, if I was one of those guys, I would have said right then, "Okay, now I'm on his side." But nevertheless, they all fell down, and he said, "Look, you can have me, but you can't have them." Okay? So they said, "All right." They made a deal. So, but that was only because that was his cup that he was supposed to take, right? So there's so many of those examples. I could go into through the Civil War and so on, and things with Grant. But how? I don't want to. You know, I just love those stories. But I still pray for that for our country. And here recently, okay, Brandon Briggs is a pastor, who's obviously a prophet. And on March 15th, and I posted this the other day. But this was March 15th when we were having the discussion, and we've done it here when we discussed about the upcoming eclipse that was going across America and so on that was coming, and what those different things that might mean. All right, so Brandon Briggs, he said he claimed that the Lord told him about a lot of things that would happen in the U.S. in the time to come. He said, quote, okay, you can watch this if you want, but I'm quoting it. "God said, I'm not done with America. I saw an attempt on Donald Trump's life. This bullet flew right by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame and started worshiping the Lord. I also saw Donald Trump become really on fire for Jesus. I also saw him winning the presidency. I saw a great economic crash coming soon after. which will be the worst in the country's history. The Lord told me that it would be a great dark time. Now, doesn't that fit a lot with what Chris Reed also saw? So why did the Lord tell you these things? Okay, now he said that March 15th, all right? Rick Joyner once said to us, prophecy is given mainly for you to understand after the fact. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But it really, that mostly is the case. And so you can go, even Jeremiah said, then I knew that it was the Lord. So the Lord had told him some things. And then when it happened, Jeremiah said, then I knew. Does that make sense, you see? So anyhow, okay, so that's already happened. Now, you could say, well, it's a false prophecy because it didn't literally break his eardrum. All right, you can think that if you want. I'm not going to think that. He was describing what he saw in the vision. All right, that's the best way he described it. I'd say it's pretty darn close to what actually happened. It broke his ear, but not his eardrum. But anyway, but then there's a great economic crash because these people, when George Bush was elected, they did as much damage to the White House as they could on the way out. They did so much damage that you and I had to pay for. Well, they're in charge of a lot more now than they were in that day, in light of all the control they've taken over so much of the, not just the political side of it. If they could pull the plug on the nation on their way out, they would. If they could turn off. So I do believe, and Trump has actually alluded to this, I don't want to be the next Herbert Hoover. I mean, I don't want to inherit them causing, you know, causing another breakdown like we had in 1929. I remember when Tucker Carlson asked, and this wasn't that long ago, a few months back, when he actually asked Donald Trump, well, you know, if they can't stop you, they'll try to kill you. Have you thought of that? Of course he's thought of that. But he said, well, his answer was interesting. His answer was, well, you know, there's a lot of passion out there and there's a lot of anger out there, and that's not a good combination. And that's all he said. So I'm sure he's aware of it. But he's still trusting those people that are around him, and clearly they can't be trusted. We have to trust in the name of our God. And I think he knows that now. But it doesn't mean he's going to hold back. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar said to the Hebrew children, who can deliver you out of my hand? He said, what God can deliver you out of my hand? And they said, well, we don't know if our God will deliver us, but we know he's able. And then it turned out he decided he was going to do it. So I want to just say this, just to put this in here. Corey Mills, okay, he served as a U.S. Army member of the 82nd Airborne Division, Joint Special Operations Command, former U.S. Army sniper, and he's a businessman, a contractor, and he now is a congressman in the House of Representatives, representing Florida's 7th District. And he says, one of the things we need to investigate, was this lapse of security intentional? Of course, the heads were exploding. It's that bad. It is that bad. And of course, you see the comments that were coming from those folks were not. They were like, learn how to shoot better. You know, get him next time. There was no remorse. There was no shock. I remember. I'm old enough to remember the day that John F. Kennedy was killed. I was in second grade. I remember the custodian came in and whispered into my teacher's ear, and she broke down crying right then, okay? And it didn't matter if you were left, right, whatever. Of course, we were little kids. We were neither. But what I'm saying, the whole country was in shock and awe. And we were Americans. 9/11, for a few days, we were all Americans. They're not even capable of that now, okay? Well, I want to, okay, I felt like I wanted to bring some of these things up to talk about the actual events, but I really want to bring it back to the spiritual side of this, okay? 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. That goes for all of us. Keep praying for the president. Keep praying for the vice president. Oh, I want to say this, because people have asked, what do you think about J.D. Vance? Look, I can't go from his history that much. I mean, what he has done in the short time he's been a senator has actually been pretty good. But what I can say is what I've been praying about is that we would get somebody that could carry on this whole movement of coming back, bringing America back to God, and saving this country, that it's not going to happen in 4 years. It's going to take a real reformation. And having leadership that turns things around is helpful. Okay? And that's what I've been praying, and here's what I've been hearing from the top leadership. That's why they chose him. So if that's why they chose him, and that's what I've been praying for, at least I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt for the time being. And I'm going to pray for him as part of the answer in the long term. And when I talk long term, I'm talking about the next 16 years or so, you know. But because right now, if we can make it the next 6 months, you know, that's an answer to prayer because we're that far down the road. All right, let me just pray. Thank you, Lord, for once again saving President Trump's life. I thank you, Lord, that you protect his family. I believe probably the whole family has probably changed. Now, I know that Abraham Lincoln had attempts on his life, and his wife turned to like seances and things. Nancy Reagan, I know, she started getting horoscopes and things like that from psychics. I pray that that doesn't happen, that Melania and the family don't go to that stuff. And their indication up till now is that they will seek Jesus Christ. So I pray that now that this prophecy and these other prophecies, going back to Kim Clement, maybe others I don't know about, but that the whole family turns to you, not to any other source, but turns to you and thanks you. And I thank you that Trump did give you honor and glory for saving his life. And he seems to be humble from it, not coming back like I'm indestructible, but rather humbled by this, recognizing that there's others that did die. Yeah, and these people that are saying what was faked, well, then did these people fake their own death or something? It's just insane, Lord. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mights, and dominion. And I pray, Lord, that we would watch each other's back, that we need to know our company, we need to know who has called us, and that we would stand with one another, and that we don't need as much prayer maybe as he does, and we pray for him, but we need prayer, and we need enough. We just need enough that we are also protected. So, Lord, even as we've been warned about economic turndown and so on, that we don't get in fear, that we look to you. Our economy is from heaven. That, Lord, even if you would have to have us fed by ravens, however it might happen, that you would take care of us, you will watch over us, and that we can actually look at this as a time for outreach, to reach out to those people who are recognizing they've been lied to, and maybe many people that just need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would reach out with them with the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the answer. He doesn't just have the answer, and the safety is in the shadow of his wings. So, Lord, I pray for everybody here tonight, and I pray for anyone that hears this, Lord, that you would just watch over us, that we could be under the shadow of the Almighty, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.